We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. We also have Jake Pounders. Today, Nate is the red ass. Jake Pounders, very reserved.
Just sitting back and watching.
A role reversal here.
Learned
on Sports
by watching
Radio
you, Dad.
810 WHB. But we're going to talk some college basketball now. See, that'll put people in a better mood, I feel like. Stop talking about the Chiefs for a little while. I think it gets everyone on edge. Then we start to get mad. Now take a step back. Talk about some college basketball with our college basketball insider, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm great, Stephen. How are you?
Doing very well. Just don't ask me about the Chiefs in this segment.
Oh,
Mike. Thank you, Mike. Mike DeCourcy, let's talk about Kansas. First off, they were, again, very, very impressive against Toledo last night. But everyone's focused, especially Nate Bucati, who's making the trip down this. He's taking his talents to South Beach, Mike, is what he told us, to go see Kansas take on Syracuse this Saturday. And so let's just start there. Maybe just give us some thoughts on what you've seen from Kansas so far and how they match up against Syracuse this Saturday.
Well, I'll be honest with you. On a neutral floor, Syracuse is not a great team. I mean, I watched Syracuse play against Maryland the other night, and honestly, Maryland's zone offense was not well executed or particularly well designed, and they nearly won the game. Now, some of that was because Kevin Herter made 4 3-pointers from 28 feet, and I am not exaggerating. I mean, he was jacking it from deep. It was like Jimmer Fredette had been stretched into a new package and had dyed his hair red and came into the Carrier Dome and started firing shots. But Syracuse they've got some good athletes. There's a little bit of talent. Tyus Battle is a very good player. But if KU has its act together in executing against the zone on a neutral floor, I don't think I don't think it's a great challenge for them. I think the brand name of Syracuse supersedes the actual product on the floor at the moment.
So Kansas has looked tremendous offensively against, albeit some, lesser competition over these last few games, you know, non-major schools. But, I mean, 98 points against South Dakota State, 114 against Texas Southern, 102 against Oakland, 96 last night against Toledo. They're shooting the ball tremendously from the outside, Mike, at 45% as a team from three-point range on the year. What can we take from that? Obviously, we know that that's not the type of competition. They're going to see much better competition over the next couple of weeks, and obviously in a Big 12 play. What, if anything, can we take from what they've done, though, this offensive explosion over these last four games?
I think the first thing you should know is that these are not 300s they're playing here.
Right.
They're not necessarily great opponents, but Oakland is a team that's expected to be a factor in the Horizon League. Toledo is not a great team right now, but the Mid-American Conference is a really solid mid-major league. It's very competitive. They don't usually get multiple bids, but that's more, it's less about their quality than it is about how highly competitive the Mid-American Conference is. It's hard to stand out in that league. Everybody's sort of punching at the same weight. Like a great collection of middleweight boxers. They're all really good, and it's hard to get, it's hard to get like a 16-0 record or something like that in that league that would get you an extra bid if you don't get an automatic. So they're beating pretty solid teams in that sense, and they're beating them badly, and they're playing offensively really well. And the one thing, you mentioned the shooting. Let's be honest. If they go into practice and they shoot those numbers, you know, they're excited. I mean, that kind of accuracy, 45% from 3-point range, that's exciting in a practice session, let alone a game with people there and, you know, and the other team trying really hard not to get embarrassed. The fact that Spee is shooting 56%, I mean, you guys, this is what we were promised, what, 3.5 years ago?
Yeah.
That this player that would be here, and it's understandable. I mean, he had a lot of competition, and he was very young when he got here. But it's great news for Kansas that he's shooting the ball like that, and that, you know, LeGerald Vick and Malik Newman are shooting like that. Now, you're not going to end up shooting 50% after you start going through the Big 12 and going on the road. But if you're shooting 50, it's going to take, you know, it's going to take some really bad nights to get it down below 40. And I don't think that's coming. I mean, they're not, like I said, they're not going to shoot 50 for the rest of the year, those three guys. And the team's not going to settle at 45. But this is showing every reason to believe that it's going to be an outstanding shooting team. And you know, I think given the circumstances in the front court, it needs to be.
So I want to explore the Svee situation a little bit further with you, Mike, because I'm a huge fan of his for a few reasons, but I feel like it's mentioned enough, but I don't know if it's appreciated enough, particularly by KU fans, that even as a senior, this kid, and I'll call him a kid, is still 20 years old. He will play this entire season. He doesn't become of legal drinking age until this summer in June. I mean, I think KU fans have had this frustration because, like you said, this is the guy we were promised, and KU fans thought he was going to be that guy right off the bat, and now he's a senior, and I feel like they feel like he's 22, 23 years old, and finally he's playing like this. If he plays like this, is Svee still considered a guy with a lot of upside, maybe by even professional scouts or whatever, considering the fact that he's as young as I just pointed out he is?
Well, I think that from the NBA standpoint, there's no question he can play there. But is he a great upside player? I think he's shown that he's not a dynamic athlete.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't embarrass himself out there with that or anything like that. But he's not a super energetic, dynamic. Even now at 6'8", and on a team that is mostly small, he's only getting 4 rebounds a game. Now, some of that's because he doesn't get much at the offensive end because he's playing mostly deep on the perimeter because of his great shooting ability. But it's, that's still a factor. 4 rebounds a game, and I'm not saying he's not doing his job. I'm just saying this is who he is.
Yeah,
I don't criticize players for being who they are. And that's, he is tall and he's long, and he's marginally athletic from a run jump standpoint. But he's basketball, and what you pointed out about his age is astonishing, really, because I have people saying, look at Marvin Bagley, he's supposed to be a senior in high school, and I'm like, no, he's really not. I mean, most freshmen at college are 18 years old, and that's what Marvin is. I mean, right. Marvin is supposed to be a freshman in college, and he's great. Don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing his player, his performance, but he's where he's probably supposed to be right now. Svee is at 20. I mean, look, I was a regular age college student. I graduated college, and when I graduated college, I was 22, like 3 weeks later or whatever. Well, technically, when I went through the graduation ceremony, I was 22, 3 weeks later. That was pretty much normal college age when I was a young person. Now, it's gradually drifted to where kids are going to school a little later, and so my experience might not be the standard as it is now, but it's pretty much, it's not. I'm not going to sit here and say it's remarkable that Marvin Bagley's an 18-year-old freshman, but that Svee Mykhailiuk is a senior, and he's only 2 years older than Marvin is pretty amazing.
Mike DeCourcy is our guest. Mike, Missouri lost a tough one to West Virginia late on Sunday night. They were up 16 points with 7:45 left, and then Javon Carter and Daxter Miles, They ate the Missouri point guards alive, and they end up winning the game. And so coming out of that, the Advocare Invitational down in Orlando, Mizzou blew out Long Beach State. They were down 8 to St. John's in the second half and came back and beat St. John's. And then they had what happened against West Virginia. So what should the takeaway be for Mizzou fans based on what they did in that tournament?
Well, you don't want to blow a lead that you have. I mean, when you're the team that's leading. But if they had been back and forth with West Virginia and wound up an 83-79 loser, I don't think that any Missouri fan would have walked away and said that was a disappointment. West Virginia was ranked at the start of the year in the top 15 and is coming off an appearance in the Sweet 16 that they, you know, and they barely lost to the team that played in the championship game, Gonzaga, last year in the Sweet 16. This is expected to be a significant team. So you add that to the fact that you beat a very good St. John's team. And, you know, anybody who watched that game saw how athletic St. John's was and how dynamic they are. And being able to win that game on top of the Iowa State win gives you two major wins already. I think that things are going very well for Missouri. I was very impressed and surprised that they were able to be as competitive with West Virginia, given the way West Virginia plays, and given that, you know, most of the players that we look at with Missouri and say, you know, and are impressed by are front court guys. And so, yeah, eventually Missouri wore down and turned the ball over against the Mountaineers, but it didn't happen early, and they stayed in that game, and they had a lead. So I think it's very promising. Now, you know, the trick for them now is they're playing at Central Florida. And, guys, Central Florida is one of the hardest teams in America to play. They're not one of the best teams. They're a good team, but they're one of the hardest teams in America to play against because they've got a 7'6 center named Taco Fall, who is really, you know, is very agile, really has great timing, and it's hard to run anything against them. And so it'll be a real challenge for them on Thursday night to go down there and get a win. If they can find, look, if you get out of there by a half a point, because you can't play your normal game and win. I mean, unless you're a team that just stands there and chucks threes, you know, your normal game is out the window. Taco Fall wrecks everybody's offense. He just doesn't, you know, they're not super talented that they're going to beat everybody that they wreck. But everybody that plays against them wishes they never had to deal with it.
And I was going to ask you about St. John's, so you view that as a quality win?
Oh, at this point, absolutely. Now, St. John's, any team that's 50-50 to have a good year could go the wrong way, but I don't think St. John's, to me, has not looked like a team that's going to go the wrong way. That's, you know, and people think quality win only means if you're a tournament team. That's garbage. I mean, if you're a winning team or a 500 team in a high major league, that's a quality win. The degree of quality is going to be dependent on, you know, what St. John's does from here on out. But I liked what I've seen from St. John's so far this season. I liked what I saw from them in that game. And, you know, they still have room to improve. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were in the hunt for a bid by the end of the season.
All right, Mike, speaking of quality wins, K-State last week had a chance at a really good, what would look to have been a really good quality win against Arizona State in the Las Vegas Invitational, and they lost 92-90 at the end of the day. Close game down the stretch. I know K-State felt like a couple calls didn't go their way. But some of my buddies that are K-State fans that were texting me during it, they said, even before the game ended, well, we've seen this before with Bruce Weber. We're going to lose this game at the last second. This is what we do. How big of an opportunity lost is that? And also from the standpoint, I know Kansas will end up playing Arizona State here coming up in the not-too-distant future. How good do you think Arizona State is? And maybe what do you take away from it from K-State's perspective?
Well, you know, you lose a game like that, and certainly it's disappointing. You can't argue with whatever the stats are. I mean, I don't know what K-State stats are in close games. I'm sure that There's a K-State blog somewhere that probably has it. But, I mean, if there's a perception that that they lose a lot of close games, it's possible that that's the case. Most of the time when it feels like you lose a lot of close games, you're probably 50-50, and the reality is most of college basketball is 50-50 in those games. I'd have to see the stats to know for sure whether that or not that's really something that affects the Wildcats over and over. But you know, going out of that tournament at 1-1 was not a bad result. I mean, given what was expected of K-State at this point, I don't think necessarily that that's a bad result. The bad results are if they get to, if they get to Christmas or with, without continuing to win, because there's no one between now and maybe Washington State. I don't think Washington State's very good, but they did win their tournament, so you have to take it seriously. But there's nobody else between now and then that they should, that they shouldn't beat. I mean, even Vandy, at Vandy, is anybody who's watched college basketball knows it's weird to play at Vandy because the benches are on the end. It's not a good team. I mean, Vandy is a year away from maybe being a top 10 team the way they're recruiting, but they're not a good team now. So K-State should feel like they can go between now and the Washington State game and, you know, and feel pretty good about themselves. And if they continue to play at the level they played in Vegas, you know, they're not going to collect a lot of quality wins, but they're going to continue to learn how to win. And then when they get to Big 12 play, there's plenty of quality wins available in that league. And they they'd have to do it. I don't know yet whether K-State's capable of going back to the tournament. But from what I've seen, I don't think they're incapable of it.
Mike DeCourcy is our guest. All right, Mike, we saw Baylor win the Hall of Fame Classic here in Kansas City last week. Last night, they lose by double digits to Xavier, which sets up still an interesting game for us to watch this Saturday, because Wichita State will play at Baylor. And so I'd just like to get your thoughts on maybe how good you think Baylor is and what you think of this matchup coming up this weekend with Wichita State and Baylor.
Well, you know, Wichita State's challenge in that game will be that Baylor plays zone, and they play it with length and athleticism. Now, that's not a great challenge for Xavier, especially at home, because they've got, in Trayvon Blewett, one of the best shooters in college basketball, one of the best offensive players in college basketball. And he's very well supported by J.P. McCura and Quentin Gooden. I mean, they've got very good players that are designed, to attack a zone. Now, Blewett did not shoot the basketball well last night, and Xavier didn't as a whole, but they still, the threat of the three-point shot maybe changes the complexion of the zone a little bit. And they didn't have any trouble at all getting inside it. And they outran it on a lot of occasions as well. Wichita State really struggled against a not great zone against Cal in the opening game at Maui. I mean, it was really surprising to see. And then eventually they took over. So they're going to have to be more polished in their zone offense. And it was probably good that they had that experience in the Cal game, because now they've at least seen it and it's not foreign to them. And now they're stepping up in class in that respect, but at least it's not like they haven't seen that sort of pitch. So they certainly have to attack it better. And I think they saw in that game that if they get the ball deep to Shaq Morris, that Shaq Morris is ready to be a dominant inside player. I mean, he was tremendous in that game. And I think that his improvement this season has been really remarkable. He was a very good college basketball player a year ago, even 6 months ago when I saw him in the NCAA tournament. But he showed the ability in that game to really take over a game. Now, since Cal, his numbers have moderated a little bit, and he got into pretty deep foul trouble against Notre Dame, so wasn't really able to be a factor. But I think we saw in that game that they have more than, everybody in college basketball and the pros are excited about Landry Shamet and know he's an elite talent. But from the college standpoint, I think we saw what Shaq did in that game and to a lesser extent against Marquette, that he can really be a powerful inside force.
Mike, over the weekend, the team from the Big 12 that was the most intriguing to me was Texas. They lost two games, But they took Duke to overtime. They blew a big lead in that game. They came from behind to take Gonzaga to overtime, but then lost. Look, those are losses again. I realize that, but what do you take away from that, and what do you expect from Texas this season?
Well, you know, one of the things I took from it was, and, you know, I'm still learning the name, Dylan Ostakowski.
Yeah.
That guy's a big-time player.
Yeah.
And not somebody I had any awareness of at all prior to this. I mean, you know, transferring from Tulane, you know, honestly, you don't watch Tulane a lot. And, you know, if you live in New Orleans, you don't watch Tulane a lot. He was a major addition to them that not a lot of people saw coming. And so I think that's the first thing we took, is that they've got more good players than we realized. I mean, we knew that Roach is an athlete and that Bamba is a great prospect and that Coleman, you know, gives them a lot of promise in the backcourt. But Ostakowski is just terrific, and he's going to be a challenge for everybody that they play. Rebounds, he's a great passer, excellent shot maker, a really versatile, powerful force inside. And so that's one thing you take away. But the second thing you take away is that the guard play isn't great yet. And, you know, maybe the guys they have, I mean, Coleman did not have a great tournament. You know, and I watched, you know, in Portland, I watched several of the games, and he doesn't make threes, or at least he hasn't yet to this point. You know, he turns the ball over a little bit. He really struggled at times, you know, against Duke with a team that is not a great defensive team. I mean, he struggled to complete plays, not just to make deep shots, but to complete plays. I think the question for them is, do they have the playmaking and the ball handling to, you know, to beat teams in the Big 12 on the road, when you consider, you know, you've got to go to West Virginia and what they can do to you with their defense. And Texas Tech plays really aggressive defense. And Kansas is going to be a bear, you know, just to stay with bucket for bucket. And, you know, so I think that Texas is going to win a lot of games, and I think they're certainly going to be competitive in the Big 12. But I don't know that they can win the league or compete to win the league unless their guards get a lot better in a very short period of time.
Mike, as always, thank you so much for the time, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, thank you.
That is Mr. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter. TSN Mike is his handle. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.